Hey everybody, the Rad Ryan here for another episode of the Brief Nerdy Podcast. Joining me once again is my good friend and co-host Trent.
Hello.
And we are a duet tonight.
The dynamic duo.
Just the two of us.
We can make it. Nope, copyright.
Yup, yup. Yup, yup.
Yeah, the infamous first episode that got removed for copyright infringement
because we had the Yumdub song at the end of our podcast because we talked about it for some reason in that episode. I don't remember why, but and then within an hour or two.
Yeah, not even. I don't even know. It was really quick. YouTube pulled it right down. Like, nope, our bots have detected copyrighted material.
Yeah,
it's basically Skynet trying to kill our podcast. Is what I'm saying.
So that's why we have no music on our podcast, and we're too lazy to write our own.
Well, so I went and looked, and there's actually a ton of free, like open license music that you can use for your podcast if you want. But I didn't want to add extra editing for you.
Nah, I won't mind. We don't do much editing. Adding a song at the beginning when it.
So here's our first fan question that I really, really, really want an answer to. Should we have bumper music for our podcast? And if so, what kind of music should it be? Like 8-bit or like anything else?
I vote yes and 8-bit. So.
Well, okay, but the fans
have you to tell decide.
Us. You decide.
Choose your own adventure.
Wouldn't be surprised if that's copyrighted now too.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am also great.
I'm a little stressed. For those of you who don't know, I am about to move states this weekend. I'm moving to Utah to Salt Lake City.
It's true.
Land of. Oh crap, I forgot the line. You just saw it, right? The Book of Mormon? Just like, well, there's a red cross on every corner.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm a little stressed from that, but I'm excited to be talking about nerdy things and to get my mind off of going through boxes and clothes and stuff.
Well, that's a good segue into our round robin of this week, which is, in our opinions, the best nerdy comfort food.
Quote unquote comfort food.
Yes, not really comfort food. Not actual food.
What nerdy activity do you do to help you relax and or deal with stress?
Yep. Mine's a little specific, I guess. But anytime I'm either really stressed out or just upset or something and I kind of just need to take my mind off things for a little while, I pop in an old NES game. Whether it be something like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers or Super Mario Bros. 3 or whatever, I just kind of sit there and I put it in and I play it till I beat it. You know, usually one I could play or beat within a reasonable amount of time, half hour to an hour or so. It calms me down and it makes me happy and puts me in a better place than what I was previously. Nice. So,
did you mention Mario 3?
Yep.
Just now? I couldn't remember if you mentioned it before or during. Do you go through every world, or do you do the whistle?
Depends on the time. If it's, like I said, if I just want to beat it in like 30 minutes or something like that, I'll just do the whistles. I'll grab two whistles and use them at the same time and get all the way to world 8 and then play through world 8 and be done.
Have you ever done a completionist run of Mario 3?
Oh, yeah. Like, if it's like a Saturday and I'm like really stressed and I have a good handful of hours to burn, I'll do that.
Nice. I'll be honest, I've never, ever beaten it from beginning to end without using the whistle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what that says about me, but I always go from, what is it, like 1 to 2 to 8?
Yep.
So, I've been...
You get two whistles in one at the first by the first fortress. You get it in level 3 and at the first fortress, and then...
Oh, that's right. You can just go from 1 to 8.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how. For the first two, the desert one is escaping me. But anyway, I should add that to my bucket list at some point.
Yeah, you should.
It's good. Do a full run. I've done it for Super Mario
World. The original? Oh, World?
Yeah. The NES, the Super NES game.
Yeah, I'm not, even though I said NES game, Super Mario World is one I typically add to that as well.
Nice.
I do the secret in the cape, love the first cape level, do the secret in the next water level, which takes me to the secret ghost house, which I do the secret exit there, which takes me to the Star World, go through Star World, and then hit Bowser's Castle.
See,
And a
that I
quick,
did not know.
do a quick 30-minute Super Mario World run. Not, I'm no speed runner by any means, but yeah.
Super Mario.
Just watch the credits roll and feel better. That song. Anywho,
A good song.
so what about you? What's your nerdy comfort food?
For me, it is. So I own, well, I own Gilmore Girls now also, but up until recently, I only own 3 full seasons of television on DVD, like actual physical DVD. And those are Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and Star Trek Voyager. And if I remember feeling like stressed or nostalgic or sad or whatever, I will pop in like a favorite episode from one of those shows. Typically for Buffy, it's one of the season finales where she has the big epic battles with the big one of the big bads. Season 5 is especially a favorite of mine.
Which one was season 5?
Glory.
Ah, right.
So those are what I do. I think I've watched through all of those shows like 7 or 8 times now. It's one of the few shows that I take the time to ever go back and rewatch. I think they're fantastic.
That's like me in Breaking Bad.
Exactly. And someday I will watch Voyager again with you.
Someday.
Someday, when you're awfully lonely and bored as hell.
Yeah.
So, what are you playing?
I have been playing lots of stuff this week. A lot of good stuff too.
Lots of stuff.
The new season of the Telltale Batman game. I really enjoyed season one of the Batman game. I won't really do any spoilers here, but it's really good Batman storytelling where they kind of turned some traditions of the Batman mythos on its head. Like I said, no spoilers, but it would be like, the big twist is that Robin is the villain of the show and not like Red Hood Robin, but Robin Robin,
Right.
Since I guess that has happened, but never mind.
Was
Or like the Joker is a good guy, some like it's not those, but is if something was like that. So it does a good job of subverting your expectations and creating good twists in the story. And then so season two just started this week, and so I got that and played episode one, and it was fantastic. Kind of a reimagining of the Riddler in that one,
Nice.
and then sets up the rest of the season. So it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Probably one of the smoothest Telltale experiences in a while. So, yeah, look forward to the rest of the season. Played Rick and Morty VR. It's called Virtual Rickality. It's just a small little bite-sized VR experience, like most of them are. In the first part, you kind of just play around in Rick's garage. There's like dozens of little things you could play with and interact with, and then it's kind of just a small puzzle game where you kind of just help Rick with his current adventure at one point, and well, it takes about 1 hour, 2 hours or so to pretty much complete the game. But if you're a fan of Rick and Morty, I highly recommend it because there's tons of hidden Easter eggs and in jokes, and it's just funny on its own. So,
Nice.
and then finally, I started a game called Hollow Knight. It came out earlier this year. It's a Metroidvania game. Do you know what that is, Trent?
I do not.
Okay. It's kind of the unofficial genre name of
I was
the.
trying to think for a second. I was like,
It's the unofficial kind of genre name that people have given to like 2D side-scrolling Metroid-ish or Castlevania-ish type games. And one of the best recent examples of that is Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So like you're moving through a two-dimensional space, you have this big map, and then you get a new ability that lets you basically get somewhere in that world that you weren't able to get to before. That's kind of just a Metroidvania.
Oh yeah, I've seen this. Or I've this Hollow Knight thing. I think I might have had a key for it from Humble Bundle and gave it away.
Oh, well, it's really good so far. Had a bit of a learning curve, I guess, but only because of my own doing, so to speak. You know, sometimes in a game like that, rather than having like a physical barrier you can't get across or a ledge you can't jump to, sometimes they'll place just like really, really hard enemies in your path to like discourage you from going back there until you're, more powered up. But my sense of pride takes it as a challenge. And so I press on through it until I realize I was really, really, really deep into it and like had save points in there. And then I got stuck on this boss that was like super hard, and I like kept, I probably died like a dozen times, and I was like, ah, raging hardcore, and then finally beat the boss. I was like, yes. And then like at that point I was just so far off where I was supposed to be. I did just kind of quickly look at a guide, not to really follow along with it, just kind of point me in the direction I need to go. And I was like, oh, I'm at the end of the game. Pretty
Nice.
much the last zone as far in the table of contents was the zone I was currently in. And even the boss I fought was just an optional boss that gave you like a bonus like trinket to equip. So it was a super hard optional boss.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go back to where I'm supposed to be right now. So I wandered my way back there and then started fighting the bosses and enemies there. I'm like, oh, this is so easy. So, but
Nice.
yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
That sounds fun. How would you compare it to Ori?
Not quite or to Ori's greatness, mainly because the story is pretty much non-existent, or it's one of those where you I'm gonna have to look online what the story is afterwards because I'm too dense to get this vague booking like notes you find on the ground, so to speak. So whatever, but the gameplay is solid. So but I'd still rank Aria a lot higher.
Yeah. That's cool. I might have to take a look at it at some point.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the genre, so I'm easy to please when it comes to it, and I like this one, so
I like the genre. I don't know. The art style kind of gets me a little bit looking at it.
yeah, it's Well, I wouldn't say it was a turnoff for me, but it definitely wasn't grasping. It's just
Yeah.
very hand animated
Yeah.
looking, which can be
Agreed.
nice in some sections, but it's no Ori, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We've sung Ori's praises many, many a time before.
Buy it.
Everyone should play it. So excited for the sequel.
Yep. All
It's
right, what
not
about you?
is
Oh,
it
go ahead.
20 is it 2018 yet?
They've given no date,
I don't
so
care. 2018 will make it closer.
this is true. This is very true.
So let's see. I've still just been playing a lot of Ark. We transitioned to a different DLC map called Ragnarok, and it's kind of Norse European themed. So like there's ruined castles around for you to explore, and like sheer cliffs and high mountains, and the map is just huge, and there's so much to explore, and it's super fun and it's beautiful. And you can just get completely just lost in just running around, which is amazing. It's very different from Scorched Earth, which was very boring and all beige and sand and boringness. And the cool thing about Ragnarok is that once it's totally finished, it's going to have all the different biomes from every map that's ever been made. So it'll have your typical standard for those who play. It'll have your redwood, like it'll have your normal like jungle and beach stuff and oceans. It'll have redwood biome and swamp biome and ice and snow biome. And it'll also add a desert biome, which will be kind of like Scorched Earth mini of its own thing. So if you really like Scorched Earth, but not everybody wants to play in that, like you can go settle the desert if you want to. So
Nice.
I'm pretty excited. It's really cool. Like I said, just gigantic, and super fun. Only half the map has been released so far. So
Step by step,
that's right.
day by day.
So I think Ark is approaching their official release date, which I think they've pushed back to August 29th but they keep coming out with pretty good weekly updates. Ooh, and sorry, they're coming out with otters for
Otters, huh?
Ark. And you can tame them and they will fish for you and bring you
Yeah,
fish and pearls, and it's adorable, and I can't wait to I'm excited.
we should let Maggie and Nick know.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
It'd be very fun.
Yeah,
So that's what I've been playing. Pretty much just Ark.
that's okay. It's one of those games that, provides endless hours of entertainment.
True. I downloaded Final Fantasy Tactics for my phone because they had a 50% off sale. So I took advantage of that on my Android phone. Some point when I'm bored and not playing Clash of Clans, I will play some Final Fantasy Tactics.
See, I came really close to purchasing that as well. I saw that same post, but then I was just like, do I really want to, like, I've never played Tactics before. I know, sacrilege.
I haven't either, actually.
I'm a Final Fantasy VII guy, and people say, like, oh, the best Final Fantasy games are either Tactics or Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy IX or Final Fantasy VI. Just kind of one of those, all of which I've played except for Tactics. And so, I've always wanted to play it, but then I was like, as I went to purchase it, I was like, A, like, am I gonna invest the time to like play through this entire like JRPG on my phone? B, d I didn't know. I could probably could have looked it up, but I didn't bother after I made my decision. But I was like, does it have like cloud saves if I like wipe my phone or something like that? Would it keep my save? I'm really weirded out about game saves on a phone because I wipe my phone pretty consistently, so to speak, and install new ROMs on it and stuff like that. So I was like, will that hold? So I wasn't sure, and then I was like, no, I'll do it later, or not just not do it, because I own the game on PlayStation, and I could technically stick it in my PC and play it on my PC with an emulator. So,
Nice.
which is legal, I own the disc.
There you go. Well, that's the thing that I was thinking about was maybe should I try to find a way to play the original or should I play this mobile version? But I've had a lot of good experience playing Dragon Quest III on my phone,
You
which
go.
is a kind of remastered version of the original Dragon Warrior III, which was one of my favorite RPGs as a kid.
Yeah.
So I've kind of gotten used to the idea now, especially now that I have these like portable charger packs that keep your phone up for days. I'm not as worried about it anymore.
Well, there you go.
So it's a little one of my many handheld gaming machines now.
I think I even technically own the PSP version of the game. I like bought it and still didn't play it.
Nice. Well, it's so different from every other Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
So,
And even more sacrilege, I played Tactics Advance, and then I didn't like it.
No.
Yeah. Anywho. I did not
Cool.
purchase it, because I've purchased it twice already and still haven't played it. I must play one I currently own. Kind of like what I said with Splatoon, I don't want to buy Splatoon 2 until I play Splatoon 1, which I purchased and still haven't played.
There you go.
So, what you been watching?
So a lot of the same stuff that I've been talking about for weeks. All my reality shows are still going. We're getting ready for the return or the fall premieres of Survivor and a few of my other shows that I'm excited about. But mainly, I've been kind of dreading to watch, and I wish TJ had been on, or I just need to talk to him at some point, maybe separately, because I know you don't care. But I have to rant a little bit about Big Brother, and it's become very boring. The vet in the house is just like running everything, and his ego is the size of Texas, and it's really not fun to watch.
When you send Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck to go take out this guy's ego, it sounds like.
There you go.
That was a really badly executed joke. It sounded much better in my head when I first thought of it. I apologize to all of our loyal viewers. We're
But no, I
doing
mean
Mario
it's
Kart Toad. Ah, wah, 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 wah.
that's right. So I mean I am still watching it mainly because I'm paying for CBS All Access, so I figure like I might as well be watching the show that I bought it for.
Yeah.
But it's painful at this point. It's one of those seasons of reality TV, and if you've ever watched more than one season of reality TV, you know that every now and then the seasons just have big slumps or they like slump for a long period of time, and so it's doing that right now, and it makes me, because everybody's just so blind. They're like, oh yeah, like we want to help Paul get to the end because Paul's going to help us get to the end because Paul knows everything. And I was like, Paul's going to win the game if you let him get any further.
So
And like
Saint Paul
all
is Supergirl levels of awesome.
supposedly he's so amazing, we could never hope to be as good as him. He knows everything. And it's just, yeah, like anybody who like realizes what's going on, they get booted off the show. And I'm like, and on one side, I mean, he's playing really well, and that's, I mean, that's good for him. It's just, it makes for really, really boring TV in my opinion. So I want someone to just like blow up the house somehow and like change things around. Not
What a
literally,
twist.
not literally, like just make a big move and like put Paul and one of his lackeys, like his main, like number two, up on the block and just get one of them out of the house. Like do something interesting. So anyway, that was my Big Brother rant for so far for Big Brother 19. Hoping it gets better because like I haven't even wanted to watch Sunday's episode yet. I'm just like, ugh, I don't care.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that sucks.
That's okay. Hopefully it'll get better. There's always some kind of mid-season slump, but it usually lasts like a few episodes or like maybe a week or two. But anywho, what have you been watching?
Well, like I said last week, I was only one episode away from finishing Iron Fist, and so I finished it. Enjoyed the finale, I guess. There was one cliffhanger at the end that I was like, okay, what? But
Had to do with Joy.
yeah,
Yeah.
just
At
like
the like outdoor market or
diner,
whatever. Yeah.
diner thing. Yeah, I was like, okay, but okay.
Yeah, that was pretty much my reaction too. I was like, I hope they drop this thread, to be honest.
Yeah, but other than that, still enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot better than Luke Cage. Still not quite up to Daredevil or Jessica Jones, but
Yeah.
I'm glad I went in with low expectations and was pleasantly surprised, because I went into Luke Cage with high expectations and was very, very let down.
See there, that people ask me how I can watch shows that other people don't like, or like why I watch silly shows that are all about like, you know, the visuals. The secret is lower your expectations.
Yeah.
If you're just expecting nothing but popcorn fun, it can only impress you.
Yeah.
I mean, I it could still let you down even in that regard, I guess, but
But you know me, how I watch things.
I know, but you need to like take a Xanax or something before you watch some of these shows.
Was actually trying to explain this to Maggie, because like she would watch Rick and Morty. She's like, oh, the show is so stupid. And I'm like, well, the show has like three different layers that like I love all three layers. Like there's the very outer, like dirty, humor, dirty childish humor on the outside, which I love on its own. And then there's inner layers of like good social commentary. And then just there's another third layer there that like has just some of the best writing, on television right now, and things just not everyone, I guess, can see when they watch the show. I don't want to say that, like I'm some super hipster, but there's always just, I don't know, just Rick and Morty was just a very, very layered show, and I loved every layer of it. And so every single episode I can thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy, versus some other people, not pointing any names, but at least for Rick and Morty, Maggie could only see the top level, like dirty humor, childish humor. And so the show like drives her nuts. So, but
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't help it. I watch everything, all the layers.
Turn it off.
Yeah, we're still getting copyright striked this
Black
episode.
light switch, go
And
click.
I can do that for a lot of things. There's a lot of movies. Movies I have an easier time doing that with, but I think because TV shows are so much more of an investment of my time,
That's true.
and there's so many good things out there that I still haven't seen that, like people say are critically great, but it could go either way because like with Leftovers, like I hadn't even heard of it before TJ mentioned it. He said it was probably one of the greatest shows of all time, and then weirdly, after you first talked about it here on the podcast, I started hearing about it everywhere, and everyone's kind of saying the same thing. And I'm almost done with season one right now, and I don't dislike it still, but like I'll find myself being really interested at like a single quarter of a storyline in a single episode, like maybe a storyline involving one character in one episode. Like, oh, okay, this is really interesting, but then like it'll do other things to not like. Again, piss me off is probably way too strong a word, but I'll get like really frustrated with like a character doing something really stupid, or them focusing on a character I don't really, really, really don't like and don't want to have anything to do with. And so it's like a roller coaster. I get really excited and really frustrated over and over and over again. Did you watch Lost?
No.
No? Okay. Well, it's like...
I've seen the pilot and a couple, like maybe one or two episodes. I always meant to go back, has haven't yet.
Well, I mean, just it was one it and Leftovers so far. Well, again, I'm only almost done with season one, but it's a show that they answer your questions with more questions. And this one, it's not giving me any answers yet. And so it's leaving me just more and more frustrated, and it just. Not to get super crude, but it seems like the writers are really stroking their own egos sometimes, like writing things that seem really, really deep. And Maggie and I'll just be like, what? You're not deep, show. Yet.
Again. So they're just hipster writers is what you're saying.
So like they're trying to have this like profound character moments and Maggie and I are just like, So I don't know. Not quite there yet with Leftovers, but we'll see. We'll see. So yeah, so Iron Fist, I liked Leftovers so far. But
so far.
Yep. This Saturday, I watched the new DuckTales.
Woo!
Yes. It was fantastic.
Yeah?
I loved it. I loved it.
Huh.
It is a kid's show, and, you know... But so I told someone at work today that I watched DuckTales. I'm like, why do you watch that? It's like it's a kid's show. And I'm like, have you seen like the recent Pixar movies, Disney movies? Did you go see Despicable Me 3 in theaters a few months ago? how is that like any different? You know, you could watch a family film, kids film, and still enjoy it as an adult and still, you know, like it and laugh at it as an adult. And as an adult who loved the hell out of DuckTales growing up, you know, this is a really, really good reboot of it. And so I legitimately laughed out loud, you know, a good handful of times. So
nice. What's where's it broadcast on?
Disney XD.
Okay. That's the same as Rebels, right?
Yep.
Nice.
They put the whole first episode up for free on YouTube, on the Disney XD YouTube channel. So you can check it out there for free, you know, for the first episode.
Go check it out.
So it's a 45-minute first episode, hour-long premiere.
How would you compare it to something like Rebels?
Rebels, you can't do that with me, because Star Wars is life.
Okay.
I mean, I would say just dedicate 45 minutes of your time, watch the first episode, and... I think you'll know whether or not right then from the get-go, it'll be something that you'll want to continue watching.
Okay, fair enough.
But, you know, I'm so excited just to see what they do with these characters that I grew up with and love. Like, they've already mentioned that Darkwing Duck is just going to appear this season at some point. Or just, like, reimaginings of the villains we like. Like, there's a classic DuckTales villain in this premiere, and then there's other villains like the Beagle Boys or Magicka Dispel that I want to, you know, see reimaginings of. And they're also taking it in a direction that's going to be, looks like it's going to be semi-serial. You know, obviously they kind of go on an adventure and they wrap the adventure up at the end, but it leaves some plot threads open that I feel are going to be continuing plot threads. I think that's something that will be really, really interesting.
Sweet. I'm excited for you.
And has an all-star cast and everything, and so yeah, it's really good.
Nice. Anybody I would know?
David Tennant.
Oh wow. Okay, yeah.
He's playing Scrooge. I forget his name. Someone in our audience is probably going to crucify me, but the fatter guy on Saturday Night Live, recently. I don't remember.
I don't know either.
If we're talking about Matt, the Death Star technician guy, he's like he sat with him like at lunch.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. So like he plays one of the ducks. Abed from Community plays another one of the ducks. Let's see, the Gooch from Scrubs. She plays Wendy. She's been in a lot of things. I can't think of the actress's name. She was in like Big Bang Theory and Scrubs and
The original Scrubs or like the last season?
original Scrubs.
Okay. I probably know who she is then.
But yeah, good cast. But anyway, good show. Sorry, went too long on DuckTales. But check it out on
You're good.
YouTube. Seriously, the first whole episode's on there. Give it a shot and see if you like it.
Oh, I'll give it a try.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into the news for this week.
Do do do
Trent,
do 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 do.
Valve announced a new game this week.
What? Valve makes games?
Yes, apparently. After
What?
4 years after making Dota 2, they announced a brand new game in the Valve library.
Wait, how long ago was Portal 2?
2010
Good Lord, really?
or 11, one of those.
Yikes.
It was when we were in college. Or at least I was.
Yeah, it was right around there. Wow. Cool.
Yes, I
So
believe 2013 was the last game, which was Dota 2. And go ahead, Trent.
it's a card game, right?
It's a Dota 2 card game.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Boo.
Because, we all need another card game in our libraries between Gwent and Hearthstone and
Eternal.
card games of the new black, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, they're inexpensive, high profit margin possibility, addicting. It's an easy game to get into or into making, I guess I should say. I gotta say, it being Dota 2 turns me off immediately.
I'm just not into card games, period. Like, I was telling Ted, as much as I loved Witcher 3, anything involving Gwent in that game, I was like, nope. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I've kind of thought Valve was a little dirty in ripping off Dota 2 to begin with. In my opinion, all like a lot of its assets belong to Blizzard. I know that is a very deep argument among gamers, so if I've offended you, I apologize.
And forgive me for asking this question if I'm asking it in ignorance, but I thought Defense of the Ancient, the original Warcraft 3 mod, was made by two people. One of them was like something to do with a frog, froggy something. But it was made by two people, and one person went to League of Legends, and the other person went to Valve for Dota 2.
It's a little bit more complicated than that because it was a use map settings map, so basically like the earliest version of mods. The original creator, I believe, went to Valve, and the guy who kept it going after he left, because he didn't go to Valve right away. He eventually went to Valve, and then I think the guy who was there later went on to go to Riot for League of Legends. I could have those completely backwards, but I think that's what happened. But either way, they still used assets that were created by Blizzard. And I'm pretty sure all the terms of service stuff that when you go into those use map settings editors say all of this are belong to us.
But didn't Blizzard have a lawsuit against Valve? I'm guessing it was settled.
Yeah, I don't know how that. I know that they did at some point. I think Blizzard realized that it wasn't worth the negative PR, so I think they settled out of court and just took payment for the rights that they felt they were owed.
So you still feel based on that Dota 2 is still kind of a ripoff?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you look at stuff like Riot and every other, Dota clone that's out there. It's really not that hard to come up with your own art assets. It just seems really lazy to me.
I think the whole purpose was to call it Dota 2 was to A, have the name brand
Well, of
mean
course.
something, and then for anyone who used the characters in one, and this is I'm assuming the characters from 1 or in 2. I haven't played Dota 2, so.
Yeah, it's almost a direct copy.
Oh,
Every
okay.
character that was there is in the new one, and then I'm sure at this point they've added newer ones.
Dorvan
But
Sniper for life.
I've played Dota 2 like twice, and I hated it because it. I nah. The reasons are many and varied, and everyone that I know that likes it heavily disagrees with me. So.
Again, haven't played it one bit, but wasn't isn't the biggest difference is obviously the heroes are different, and then denying is a thing, is kind
Yeah,
of the big difference.
well, denying is a thing, and that I actually don't mind nearly as much. The thing that I don't like about Dota 2 is that you can go negative in gold. Like, if you die, you lose gold.
Yeah.
And so, if you haven't had a chance to go back and buy, like, it just, to me, it creates an unnecessary snowball effect. So, like, in League of Legends, for example, if you kill a tower or kill a creep or kill an enemy champion, you get money.
Yep.
So there's already a built-in reward stepping up system, and there's already a gold balance. Like, every game is mostly a gold race, because you use the gold to buy items. Items make you stronger, and the stronger you are, the better you do. And so there's a natural snowball effect built into it. And you can counter with the right champion, with the right play, like if you're good enough, and those things can be overcome. But in Dota 2, it's all of that is in place, plus this negative side of things where you can deny and also lose money when you die. And so, to
Going
me, like,
negative, that's crazy because
yeah, to me, it doubles the snowball effect and makes it even worse. So if you start out losing, you're going to lose for the most part, unless you are just ridiculously good. And maybe it makes for incredible esports for the professional players who are ridiculously good, but for average players like me who are not that great, I don't think it's as fun. I would much rather play League of Legends, which I think is a nice medium between Dota 2 and Heroes of the Storm.
I was just about to say, I need to try Heroes of the Storm. Because
Heroes of the
I hear
Storm,
that's like baby's first MOBA, even though I've played
right?
MOBAs before, but I suck at them, so.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm is very fun. It's very user friendly. It's very entry friendly, and it has really good actual AI compared to League of Legends. So if you want to play versus computers, it won't feel like the easiest thing you've ever done.
Nice.
So,
I lost my name in Riot Games because I didn't log in to play for like years. So they're like, log in to keep your name. And so I did. And then they're like, okay. And then they're like, 6 months later, like, okay, you gotta log in to keep your name. I'm like, I'm not doing this every 6 months. You can have it.
that's
I
funny because
don't.
I went for like a year this past year without playing League, and
Oh, it was a long time. I
oh,
mean, it was when I lived here in Utah and what we started playing League in like 2010, 2011.
yeah, but you said that they challenged you 6 months later, so I thought that was weird.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. But it was, I remember being shortly after I logged in to keep my name, but still had like no activity. So I'm sure they're just like, nah, get out of here.
Yeah, it's funny. You're the one that got us all into that game
I know.
back in college. You're like, "Hey guys, there's this thing that's like Dota, except it's not Dota. It's
Well, I
its own
somehow
game."
got a handful of beta keys.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember how, but I
and then you
did.
gave them all to us, and then you stopped.
I'm a beer crack dealer.
So
Here's a price tags.
that's one of my claims to quote fame, and one of the benefits of being old is that I can say that I played in the original beta for League of Legends.
Me too.
Bam. And I have some skins to prove it.
I probably don't.
Like the Koopa Rammus skin.
Nice. That's
Which is
cool.
awesome. They call it King Rammus. He looks like Bowser. It's amazing. Well, he's colored to look it like
Yeah.
Bowser-ish. He's done anyway. So that's cool. I probably won't. I mean, the only thing that's going to get me to come back and play a Valve game is either if they make Left 4 Dead 3 or Portal 3. There's only the two that I really care about.
Not even Half-Life 3?
I never played any Half-Life games,
Ah, okay.
so I know I'm a sacrilege also.
I think they're extremely overrated. They're good games, but
Yeah,
Synthesis.
well, that's the
Oh,
thing.
Second
It's like
Coming.
I don't want to be like a hipster gamer or anything, but like having been told by everyone that I have to play this game, I'm like, it just looks like another shooter with a couple of interesting mechanics.
Well, it's kind of the Seinfeld isn't funny side effect.
Oh,
And so, but again, I don't want to put on my super big hipster glasses, but
yeah.
like I played Half-Life 1 back in the day before Half-Life 2, and I thought it was good, you know, with an asterisk on there. It was fine, I guess. It was very average to me. I preferred other shooters like No One Lives Forever and stuff like that, but it was fine. But then I got caught up in my friend's Half-Life 2 hype at the time. You know, it was just max level, and I just graduated from high school, and I actually had a PC that could run it because I got a laptop for not for graduation. And so I was like, cool. So like, I went out and I bought Half-Life 2 on release day, the collector's edition, a T-shirt in it, all that stuff. And like, I started playing it, and I probably got about halfway through it until I got bored and stopped. Like, and for those of you listening who have played it, I got through Ravenholm, which was awesome, but it was that super long driving segment afterwards. Driving in the car and driving in the boat is just way too long, way too boring. And so I eventually forced myself to go back through and play it circa 2008. And then also it's two mini episodes, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2. Both of those I liked phenomenally better. Like just their little 3-hour bite sizes, and they're much better paced and have good little story arcs of their own. They're just a lot better than Half-Life 2 game proper. But so I would play Half-Life 3 if it came out, but
Yeah.
probably more just to be up on the conversation versus like I really, really, really want to play Half-Life 3.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably be excited if Valve announced a new IP of some kind.
Ditto.
Because I know that they can make good games. I mean, I love Portal, and I love Left 4 Dead. So, it doesn't have to be a three-part of their never three-parted series. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Like, do you want money, Valve?
Right? Well, Valve doesn't need money. Valve has Steam. Valve will make money forever.
It just surprises me that they don't just like have a small team just like doing something.
Yeah.
Like even if it breaks even money wise, it's like, oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Especially since they're still a private company. They don't have investors that they have to please and you know, raise profits every quarter or anything like that. They're not accountable to anybody, and they're probably a multi-billion-dollar company at this point.
Yeah,
So
probably.
I just they're just sitting on IPs that people love and not doing anything with them.
It's kind of like Nintendo for a long time there.
Yeah. Nintendo just takes a long time to do anything with their,
Yeah.
you know, lesser loved franchises like Metroid.
Yeah.
Or they make a game like Other M and it sucks and then nobody buys it and people like it and they're like, oh, guess people don't want Metroid anymore. No, a-holes, we just want good Metroid.
So, there, that's, yeah. Anywho, what's next?
Blizzard! Remember a few
Woo!
weeks ago when I
Oh,
just mistakenly said, oh yeah, like Destiny 2 is coming to Battle.net. And you're like, oh, you mean the Blizzard launcher? I was like, no, I was like, no, I mean Battle.net. Well, Blizzard has rebranded of the Blizzard launcher back to Battle.net.
Oh, what was the headline that I saw today? Let me bring it up real quick. I think this is one of the funniest stories we've had in a long time because everyone, when they announced it, was like, okay, like why would you do that? It's like your Origin or your Steam, like it's what you're known for. Like you created the idea of a online multiplayer thing like Origin to begin with. So headline is Blizzard revives the Battle.net name, which no one had stopped using.
Pretty much. I mean,
Like,
like I said, I made that mistake on an earlier episode. I'm like, oh, Battle.net, but yeah.
yeah, even other like Blizzard employees and they kept using it. So I think the writing was on the wall. It's like, nope, this is your brand. this is your thing, and
And I want to say when they announced that Destiny was coming to PC, that they said it would be on Battle.net, even the fact, even when the branding at the time was Blizzard Launcher.
Which doesn't make any sense to me, like why you would change it to just Blizzard at the same time you're accepting other studios' games into the launcher. It's like, no, just keep it Blizzard Battle.net, and everybody knows that Battle.net is a launcher for Blizzard games and partnership games.
Yeah, it's silly.
It is very silly.
But I'm glad, I mean, honestly, because we were all gonna call it Battle.net, and
Yeah, I still call it the
so,
Battle.net launcher, so
yeah.
even though I gave you crap for it that one time.
It's okay. It is decided.
So speaking of companies changing up their launchers.
I was gonna say, speaking of prophecies made by us on the
Right? I totally called it.
podcast, but
The first prophecy that I have made that has come true, ladies and gentlemen, Disney is creating a streaming service, just like I talked about last week. Was it 2 weeks ago or last week? I can't
last
remember.
week,
I'm
because
pretty dang good.
you messaged me the next day and went, called it.
That's right. Like, I literally, yeah, it's like I'm freaking psychic from a like 24-hour period. So Disney is pulling its movies from Netflix and will start its own streaming service, which I'm assuming, do you think it'll include like things like Disney XD shows and stuff like that?
I would hope so.
But do you think it'll be live, or do you think it'll be the older seasons? Kind of like what Netflix does now with most of their shows.
I hope it's live. It makes no sense to have it be older stuff.
But that'll be one more death blow to the cable industry.
Yeah. Especially because they also said, kind of in the same thing, that they're going to start an ESPN sort of thing. I'm
Yeah.
sure it's not going to be what everybody wants, and I don't watch sports, but I know that sports are like the biggest holdouts for people holding onto their cable.
Doesn't Disney own ESPN?
They do.
Yeah, so it makes sense for them to create a streaming service. I've been saying for a very long time, like ever since I first started my Hulu Plus subscription back in like 2011-ish, like it was when Castle was new. This is where it's headed. Like, people don't want to pay for giant bundles of 100 TV stations that they never watch. You know, they want to pay for specific content. They want to pay for specific streaming services. Like, I will likely, when Game of Thrones is over, cancel my HBO Now subscription until next summer. I may take the time to watch like Westworld or The Leftovers or something in the meantime before I cancel it, but like I want people want to be able to pick and choose, subscribe and unsubscribe from things as they use them. And I think that is, you know, it totally makes sense. And like Hulu might, I might unsubscribe from them here soon because I don't feel like I'm getting nearly as much benefit from them as I used to. Whereas Netflix has gone the opposite direction where I hardly ever used it, and to now I'm using it all the time for their shows and then a couple of other ancillary stuff. So maybe between their shows and their new deal with the CW, I've been watching a lot of Netflix.
Yeah,
So.
most people got mad at this announcement. I can understand why, because for the consumer, just having all the Disney stuff on Netflix is better for them since they already are paying for Netflix. But at the same time, I don't blame Disney. And like you said, the only thing they could have done to make this announcement turn around and be amazing to everybody is they announced, oh, so we're doing a exclusive Disney streaming and having a new Star be exclusive to it.
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing.
You're like, okay.
And I get the frustration for this one because this is kind of the first example of, well, not maybe not the first example, but one of the first major examples of streaming services splitting off from each other. But you know, it's another one of those things. Like for someone, if you don't watch a lot of Disney shows, you don't have to pay for it. And if you do, then you can sign. I mean, do we know pricing or anything yet?
No, not at all.
Okay. I imagine it's probably going to be $5 to $10 a month. They may, I don't know if they'd be, I want to say ballsy, but I'm trying to get away from using that word. I don't think if they'll be as brash as HBO and be like, demand $15 a month, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
How much would you want to pay for it? Assuming you wanted to, well, I mean, obviously wanting to pay would be zero, but how much
I
would you be
mean,
willing to pay?
it just depends on what they have. I mean, in all honesty, if they have, like, I would probably pay for it for $10 a month if they had new episodes of Rebels and DuckTales on there. If their movies, the recently released movies, got put in there within like 90 days of coming on DVD, and they had original shows just for it, like Star Wars.
Yeah, I would pay 10 to $15 a month for that.
Yep.
And if they, because it would allow me to watch, because I don't go to the theaters to watch, Disney movies, really. Like, I still haven't seen Moana. I haven't seen, now I'm blanking, whatever the other, some more recent Disney Pixar movies have been.
Yeah.
But with this, it would give me a much easier opportunity to watch it. Not to mention, like, our nieces and nephews come to family dinner every week, and every week my parents put on a show for them, like, to watch after dinner. And like right now, it's always like, the same DVD or the same VHS that they watched last week is still there, and they was like, yeah, you want to watch Toy Story again, or whatever. But I could totally see a good benefit for, even people like my parents wanting to have a Disney streaming service for the grandkids.
Yep.
Throw on Moana or throw on Toy Story or, Frozen or whatever.
That's definitely a no-brainer for people with kids, so.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. And if they would, please make a Star Wars TV show. Like, hire the guy from Daredevil or, like, the woman from Jessica Jones. Like, it has a female director, right?
I'm not sure.
But anyway, hire one of those people to make a like somewhat gritty but fun, like cable quality Star Wars television show, and I will like just throw my paycheck at you and
Pretty much.
let you decide how I spend my money.
So yeah, let's just hope that they could, have some good content with it, because,
Yeah.
we could be mad that it's not in Netflix anymore, which we're already paying for, and we're going to have to pay for extra. But, if they create worthwhile content, the people will come.
Yeah.
So,
Have they said anything about their Marvel partnerships with Netflix?
no, we only know that after they announced that, Netflix announced they're working with Disney to try to keep Marvel and Star Wars on Netflix. So,
Yeah,
see.
I could see, like, because I imagine something like this doesn't happen overnight. So I'm assuming Disney has been thinking about doing this for a long time now. So I could see them delaying something like a Star Wars TV show or like some of the new animated shows to want to, wait until their new streaming service is live.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this means that like that's the reason we haven't gotten a new like an actual Star Wars TV show. But that's I don't have any evidence for that. That's just what I'm hoping is true.
Yeah, we can only hope until they make an announcement. So,
Yeah. Gotta get Dave Filoni to be like, help us, Dave Filoni. You're our only hope.
right. Well, the opposite of Disney is probably a Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movie, but Schwarzenegger has confirmed that he is returning to the Terminator franchise, which will be Terminator 6. As much as we like kind of crap on James Cameron for his Avatar stuff, the rights for Terminator are reverting back to him in the beginning of 2018, and he says he's planning to make a movie, with those rights.
When did he lose them? Was it Terminator 3 or?
Well, he only made two, one and
Oh,
two.
so, okay. So everything else after that was not him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm interested, again, as much as I crap on for Avatar, I'm interested to see what he's going to do to the Terminator franchise.
Yeah. Did you see the most recent one with Daenerys?
Yes.
Was it any good?
The internet hated it, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. I was watching a random YouTube video about like you know, recast characters done horribly wrong, and they, that was one of the characters they bagged on.
Yeah, she wasn't great in it. I couldn't see anyone other than Khaleesi. Hopefully, that doesn't mean she's typecast forever. But
yeah, it's going to be hard to break out of. That is a very iconic role.
Yeah,
and I have a lot of thoughts for our spoiler cast later.
But no, it was like I said, I enjoyed it. Like my biggest complaint is that the biggest plot twist was spoiled in the trailers, and that would have been a much better plot twist to keep away from the trailers. I have no idea why they did it. Like, it's extremely puzzling.
Yeah,
and then just like the way that plot twist kind of happened, which is kind of silly. But other than that, you know, I thought it was good.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I am also excited in a new James Cameron Terminator movie. I'm excited for Schwarzenegger to be back on the big screen. So hopefully it goes well.
And rumor has it Schwarzenegger is going to be playing a human in this one. And it's a human that the machines base, obviously, the DNA off of for creating the T-800.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating.
So.
Neat. Well, speaking of marketing having the potential of ruining things.
Segways are on point tonight.
I know, right? Rian Johnson and Mark Hamill are urging Star Wars fans to avoid Last Jedi marketing. And I'm really surprised by this. And I'm surprised that the studio is letting him say this without some huge backlash.
Yeah, I think they know enough that that alone will be enough hype. Just that statement alone.
Yeah.
And any Star Wars fan that purposely avoids marketing doesn't need to be marketed to.
That's true.
So what are you going to do, Trent?
I will probably watch any of the like official main trailers that come out for it. But I typically avoid like the TV spots and the extended interviews and
yeah,
a lot of that stuff, especially leading up to it. Cause I feel like once the movie is like about to come out and they're like, really like, please come see our movie. They're just like throwing a lot of crap out there that you don't want to see. And that happened with Wonder Woman a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I usually avoid most of that stuff. I'm probably not going to go as quite as dark as you. And dark meaning like turning stuff off and not like evil, but because I know that you shut off most everything, right?
I did for episode 7. I'm not as concerned, honestly, for episode 8. I'm probably going to do what you did, but probably once I know people have viewed the movie, like maybe once the premiere happens or something like that. You know, if it's anything like episode 7, it'd be great because they do it like the Tuesday before the Thursday it comes out, but. You know, once I know that people have seen the movie, like I'm like, okay, you know, blackout Reddit and Facebook and everything else.
Yeah, like I already unfollow any you know type of social media account that gives plot points away, whether that's for TV or movies or anything like that. So a lot of that stuff I've already unfollowed anyway. But
kind of a side note, I'm just not really mad because it's. Kind of brought on myself, but you know, I've kind of elected to hold off reading the Star Wars Battlefront 2 novel until you know maybe a few weeks before the game comes out. The game just came out for October, but the book just came out.
Really?
Because I want the story to lead up to the game, you know, because it is a direct prequel to the game.
That's fair.
It'd
be great if you read it now, you'll forget plot points. But
yeah.
When is the game coming out? October? November?
November.
November.
But like all my, you know, I obviously subscribe to a lot of Star Wars stuff since I'm usually up to date on canon and part of that discussion. So I'm just like, so do I read it now? So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that that came out so much earlier than the game. Like you think a prequel novel like that would do like Catalyst did and show up like a month before.
Yeah, you would think, but guess not.
Huh. Like even September would make more sense now that I'm thinking about it. But
and they've said like they're going deep with this book. I mean, I've read reviews that the book is good, but I know that the writers of the game have said that they've taken elements from the book and added it into the game to only book readers will not know major plot points, but like there'll be things that they recognize or events that they talk about that you read about in the book and stuff. So it's going to be very like a Catalyst to Rogue One relationship, I believe.
That's pretty cool.
So
that makes me excited because, yeah, like I've told you, Catalyst made Rogue One better for me.
Totally. 100%.
So I'm excited for that. Cool. So yeah, back to the Star Wars Episode 8 stuff.
I'm probably going to do like you. I'm just going to watch the trailers. Like we presumably have two trailers left. You know, the first trailer, not a teaser. And then right. There's a trailer too.
Yeah. So I'll probably watch those two and then try to avoid everything else. There's this weird like nagging in the back of my head that says that this is weird, and that like that this could be bad. But I'm trying to ignore it because I don't want it to be true.
Well, what do you mean? What could be bad?
Like, are they telling people to avoid marketing in the same way that companies like so? This it's kind of like it's like an unofficial like review embargo, kind of. Like they're telling you to avoid everything, trailers, reviews, everything.
Right? Yeah, but I think it's just part of that culture to where they want you to go into the movie at this point, besides the teaser, obviously, but. You know, completely unaware of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, because people, I kind of do this too, but a lot of people like kind of overanalyze every single second of every trailer.
That's true.
And so, you know, we could already point out, you know, a few things that we've learned, you know, plot threads just from the data we've gathered so far, you know, so.
Yeah. I guess the only thing, I mean, this is just kind of stemming from an overall worry that I have about Episode 8, because I think it's even more than the worry was for Episode 7, because 7 relied so heavily on the connection between 6 and 7, and really leaned on a lot of the same, you know, like, format and, like, layout, and a lot of the same characters, and, like, it definitely banked on a lot of nostalgia. But 8... is everyone's going to compare it to Episode 5, which is really big shoes to fill.
Yep.
And it's the first time where like Rian Johnson and like the marketing we've gotten so far is really making a point to go out of its way to say, this is going to be different. This is going to be its own thing. Like we heard you that 7 was too similar to the old ones. Like we're striking out into the, you know, to use a Star Trek reference where no one has gone before. And I'm terrified.
Well, that sucks. I'm not.
I'm glad for you.
I have complete confidence in
I wish I could turn it off. But
turn it off.
I mean, I'm still more excited than I am scared. I get nervous for every franchise that I love whenever it does something new. Because I'm terrified that it's going to be the death of it for 20 more years. You know, or something like that. I'm obviously...
Like Mass Effect.
Right? And having just gone through that, you know, it's very fresh in my head that franchises are not, you know, indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've gone through that with Star Trek, and it looks like Star Trek's reemergence is possibly going to go badly. I mean, I feel like Star Wars is invested enough that they wouldn't just be like, oh, no, we're not doing Episode 9. So I feel like they're going to finish it either way, but
still, though, I mean, not to say this movie's being built by a committee, but like between, you know, Kathleen Kennedy has more than proven that she is great for Star Wars, and I'm happy that she's president of Lucasfilm. Between her, the story group, you know, which are all just avid hardcore Star Wars fans, I listen to so many podcasts involving them. You know, I subscribe to 3 separate Star Wars podcasts, and they're guests on them all the time.
That's awesome. I need to catch up so I can actually participate in these podcasts.
And I've met 3 of them in person and had like good like 5-10 minute conversations with 2 or 3 of them, including Pablo Hidalgo, the leader of them.
I love Pablo.
And and Rian Johnson has made amazing pieces of film, whether that be television or movies. So,
like, true.
I there's a 0 chance this movie sucking.
Wow, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I mean, at least for me, you know, maybe some people won't like it, but
I
like the prequels, so is it going to be worse than those?
Probably not.
So,
all right, I feel better.
No, it's going to be great. Han Solo, on the other hand, I'm worried about.
I'm worried about that one too.
So, let me start on that.
Moving on to something that I'm not worried about, and that I am super excited for. The Defenders.
The Defenders. Comes out
this weekend. And I'm going to be driving. Dang it.
Wah.
And I don't think my random internet in the middle of nowhere is going to be good enough to stream it, nor should I be watching it while I'm driving. I don't endorse that.
Well, you could always do that Netflix, download a local copy.
Yeah, if it's available before I leave. But even then, like, I don't want to watch a show while I'm driving on the freeway.
It's true.
So, so Defenders launches this Friday, August 18th. Looks to be very, very good. One of the movie reviewers that I watch on YouTube, she said that a lot of members of the press got to watch the first four episodes and got to talk about them. And she says that they are super fun.
Good.
So, she says she still... It doesn't... like, it takes a little bit to get cohesive into feeling like it's like a show about the four of them. Like, she's like, why is this called The Defenders again? at first, anyway. But apparently, like, by the time she finished where she was, like, she is all in. So, good. I'm very excited about it.
Their impressions I read were also positive.
Sweet.
I'm glad it's only 8 episodes. I know we said before, like, oh man, this is the first time we actually, like, have Defenders, and this one show they're not doing 13 episodes, but in hindsight, it's like, nah, 8 episodes is good.
Yeah, I'm excited for 8. I think 8 is a really good sweet spot. I think Stranger Things proved that. I think some other shows have proven that 12 to 13 are still a little bit too long. I think 8 to 10 is good. So I'm happy about it.
Especially since most Netflix shows aren't like 42 minutes, like a typical television show.
Right, they're like a full hour
usually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we will probably be done by next podcast. I feel
confident that I'll have finished it by Monday.
So we will probably have a spoiler cast. Then the week after. But we'll see. Probably next week. But for now, we're getting on to our normal spoiler cast, at least while Game of Thrones is going on. So
that's right. So yeah, so anybody who is jumping off at this point, thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next week. Give us a shout out on social media, send us an email, go to iTunes, give us a rating or a comment. We would love that. And for those of you who are staying, let's talk about some Game of Thrones.
Do 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 do.
Meow 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 meow.
So, what did you think of the episode?
That was my favorite one. I loved it. It was obviously. Is a setup episode. I'm noticing this season kind of like it's like a pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. Like the episode is either building up to something or cashing in on that buildup. And last week was definitely a cash in episode. Whereas this episode was a lot of pieces moving around and preparing for, I'm assuming, next episode with the people beyond the wall.
Remember when you were like, oh yeah, next episode with all the crazy White Walker stuff, and I was like, I think the marketing was kind of deceptive.
It was very deceptive. That's not my fault.
Yeah.
I couldn't have known. They showed me ravens flying over dead people.
I just had to pat myself on the back, so sorry.
Like, Bran has seen the armies of the dead, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. I really, really liked this episode. I thought there was a lot of really, really, really impressive moments, but very, very subtle. not so subtle, although I guess we can talk about Bronn pulling Jaime from the river.
A few miles away.
Right? That's some impressive swimming skills to pull a guy in full plate miles down a river. Underwater the whole time, yep. And him still living. But that aside, I loved Bronn's line, and I don't know. I want to say it because it was amazing, but it'll make our episode mature for the week. But he calls him the C word, and then says, "Until I get what I'm owed, a dragon doesn't get to kill you. You don't get to kill you. Only I get to kill you." Or no, maybe he says like a river doesn't get to kill you or something like that too. But yeah. I laughed. I thought that was a really great moment. Because he's kind of going back to like hiding behind his, I just want money facade.
Yeah.
I think that he proved last time that that isn't completely accurate with the heroics on the scorpion and everything.
Yep.
But what do you think about that?
Oh, I loved it. Bron's a bro. I really like him. So.
Bro, Bron.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
For me, the highlight of the episode, don't mean to jump straight to there, but as someone who has been, or not has been, but is a book reader, and has been involved in the theories and everything like that for the book readers, before the end of last season, the R plus L equals J was a very, very prominent theory that hadn't been confirmed yet. And then, of course, they confirm it at the end of last season when, Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar, and where Jon Snow is the son of Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar Targaryen.
Yeah.
Big, big reveal, finally. But there was still one looming question that was answered this week. And that was Jon a legitimate child of married parents? Because him being a Targaryen is great and all, but, is he just a bastard Targaryen? I'm not sure what the snow or sand worded for a Targaryen bastard would be, but, is he? But now, through Gilly, of all people.
I know, that was the funniest thing. I was like, Sam, no, wait, you're about to find out something really important.
Yep. Gilly confirmed that the High Septon annulled Rhaegar's previous marriage and wed Rhaegar and Lyanna.
In Dorne, of all places, which I thought was interesting. So they ran off to Dorne and got married?
Yep.
So is Dorne officially Vegas of Westeros?
Well, we assumed it was Dorne because that's close to where the Tower of Joy is. The Tower of Joy is south of King's Landing. That's where Ned finds Lyanna and takes Jon.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, so, yeah, Jon is a Targaryen, and not just a Targaryen, but the rightful heir to the Seven Kingdoms, has a higher claim than Dany, blood-wise. Okay. As far as the laws of the Seven Kingdoms.
That's true. But no one knows that he's an official...
Totally not.
And that would make for an interesting reveal. Not only would she find out that she's flirting with her nephew, but she would also find out that her claim to the throne is null.
Yep.
Do you think she would turn on him?
Could be. I don't think so, though.
Really?
No. I think, I was one to think that she was going to turn... to the antagonist. I want to say bad, but turn to the antagonist. Maybe around season 3 or 4, so to speak. And maybe that will still happen in the books, but I think the show is long past the point of making her the bad guy. With only eight episodes left, I feel it would be undeserving, I guess.
There was a lot of stuff in this episode that leaned that direction.
Yeah, but it still wasn't super heavy-handed. It was just, Tyrion being like, oh, with Varys. But, she's still, a good person. She hasn't done anything truly despicable. So to have her pull a 180 and become the big bad of the series, I just don't see it happening anymore.
Yeah, but, I think one of the themes of Game of Thrones is that, people... everyone is the hero of their own story, and everyone does what they think is right for the most part, or to protect the people that they love at any cost. And Daenerys is so hell-bent on getting what she wants that she's roasting people alive. And that's very much like her father.
But I'm 100% on her side with that, though. She gave every single person the chance to bend the knee. yeah, I was not with Tyrion in that. Like, nope, like, sorry. Like, they want to be prideful and, you know, do that instead. But Danny gave them the complete opportunity to join her.
I kind of agree with Tyrion, though. I mean, like, she doesn't have any of those people's real allegiance. She has fear.
Yeah. But also, I agree with her that if that starts becoming an option that will be, or to take them prisoner becomes an option, that will be the option that everyone takes.
That's true. And I got to say, it was a very effective recruiting method.
Yeah.
Everyone kneeled right after those guys turned to ash.
And then when you have scenes like that, along with the scene with Missandei, you know, talking with Jon, and Missandei talking about how great she is, you know, and how many lives she's saved and slaves she's freed.
It's true. I'm not saying that she's going to definitely become like the bad guy. I'm glad that they're keeping her nuanced and giving her
ditto.
Hard decisions.
Yeah, ditto. I completely agree that not making her just like a white knight, you know, coming to save Westeros. Needs to be definitely more gray than that, but I don't think she will, again, I don't want to say a villain, but turn to the antagonist of the show.
Yeah.
By any means.
So speaking of Gilly and Sam, I was really shocked by his decision to leave.
I was happy for him.
I'm happy for him too. I kept hoping that Professor Slughorn would, like, you know, finally start supporting him. I don't know what his name is in the show. I just call him Slughorn.
Right. Doesn't matter.
But yeah, that was some epic nerd stuff going on. He goes to the restricted section of the library and steals all the books, and then apparently has a cart waiting for him to leave.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, I'm happy for him. Like, I want him to be more involved. I mean, as important was his stuff going on in the Citadel was, you know, I want him to be like either with John or with Danny's group, you know,
yeah,
doing his stuff there.
Yeah, I think he reached the end of the usefulness of that storyline, unless they were going to find something really useful, which I think it's too early for them to find anything super, super useful.
And the fact that, you know, Professor Slughorn didn't, you know, just start sending the Ravens out calling, you know, that the White Walkers were coming, it provided a good opportunity for them to bring up the next interesting point of the storyline in that, you know, Jon has to go basically get a White Walker.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe not a White Walker proper, but
yeah,
one of them.
I don't know how I feel about this plan. Although, like, the random, like, you know, band of bros is pretty awesome. It's an interesting group of people.
Yep.
So I know and recognize everyone who's a part of that group except for the drunk guy. Who is that? Should I know who that is?
He's just part of the Lord of Light's posse.
Okay. Okay. Oh man, we skipped over my favorite part of the episode.
No, we're jumping around.
Highlight for me, hands down, was Gendry coming back.
The best joke of the season.
Oh my gosh!
I thought you were still rowing. Maybe still rowing.
I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard because I was wondering if they were going to make that joke or not. Mm-hmm. And he makes it so perfectly. And his eye is just like barely off camera. So it's not looking right at the camera, but it's just so close. They're just like, okay, Game of Thrones directors, I see what you did there. That joke was literally for us.
Yep.
And poking fun at how long he's been gone from the show. Oh, man. I loved it. I thought it was great.
The moment he's like, I have business in Fleabot, and I went, and everyone I was with was like, what? And
I'm
like,
I guessed that. Well, I mean, if you follow any of the social media rumors, you know that he's been seen at various filming locations.
Ah, see, I didn't know that at all.
Ah, see, I knew he was coming back at some point. I had no idea how. So I kept waiting. And as soon as they, like, showed a sword being worked on by a blacksmith, I was like, Gendry! I was so happy. Because not only, I'll be honest, do I find him attractive, I think he has a really interesting storyline. And I loved the, like, brotherhood thing that he's, like, establishing with John. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It's like John's bastard teaming up with Robert's, or no, Ned's bastard teaming up with Robert's bastard. You know, John isn't really Ned's bastard, but
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I liked the use of the Warhammer. Like, I liked that he uses a Warhammer. I thought the actual design of the Warhammer looked a little silly.
No, that was fine.
Okay. It didn't look like an actual Warhammer. It looked like a Fisher-Price toy to me.
kind of a side note, the costume designer on Game of Thrones came out this week and said that the Night Watch outfits are made of IKEA rugs.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's amazing. All right. That's pretty cool. But yeah, so I was happy about that. Oh, you know what I just realized? Where did Theon go?
Yeah, we mentioned that when we were watching, like, while they're all like, okay, well, we're going to go to the north and grab a dead body, and we're going to, like, make a ceasefire with Cersei and stuff like that. Okay, ready, break. And Theon's like, but my sister.
Right? Like, he showed up at King's, or he showed up at Dragonstone last week long enough to almost get punched in the face by Jon. Said he's waiting for the queen, and they're like, the queen's not here. And it shifts to the Battle of the Loot Train. And then it shifts back, and Theon's what? Hanging out?
Yep.
In his chambers? Like, hello, can I see the queen, please?
Someday.
Oh, it was good. Like, I thought maybe he should go with him.
Nah. Too much of a coward.
Well, what else is he going to do? Rescue his sister?
Nope, just stand there and look pathetic, like always.
I literally have no idea where his story is or could be going from here. Like, is he going to get his figurative balls back and kill Euron? Or?
Well, either way, his story is intertwined with Euron's and Cersei's at this point. So if they're going to move more in the direction of the White Walkers, at least for the rest of the season, then yeah. He's not really doesn't have much to be involved with until next season.
That's true. So I posted, not realizing it was going to piss off like all of my friends, that I had a bit of begrudging respect for Cersei this episode.
Oh, yeah?
What did you think about her this episode?
Before I tell you my opinion. The only thing I can think of is when she announces that she's pregnant and she knew that Jaime was meeting with Tyrion already.
Yeah.
Something else you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean then.
So in the same scene, because she really was only in that one scene, she basically intimates that, you know, after giving all this bravado to Jaime about, you know, like, you know, dying, how did she put it? Like fighting in the dying or surrendering in the dying. She knows her choice. There's a part later when she reveals to Jaime that she knew about the meeting and she knew about what the meeting was about and that she was planning on accepting, at least for the time, the idea of armistice between the two of them. And she said, we need to fight them the way that father would fight them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very, I mean, cause she's a lot of things and clever is not always one of them, but she is very clever. She's also super prideful and likes to make big moves to like just literally blow things up. So I was kind of surprised that she was able to kind of back off a little bit and take a smarter, you know, chess move type thing rather than, you know, try to find a way to kill the dragons in open combat or something like that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because not only is it a good thing for the story in that it elongates that whole, you know, triangle of power thing. It's her only really smart move at this point.
Yeah.
Cause if she can figure out a way to delay war long enough to either come up with a reason to kill the dragons, come up with something equally powerful for herself, or just have, you know, Jon and Daenerys assassinated and replaced with her puppets. You know, that's, it gives her time to figure something out. And I'm glad that they made her smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
I thought it was impressive.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The whole time I was just thinking, like, I mean, if it was only, like, her and Jamie's lives that she was wanting to preserve, then I think it could be easily done. But it wouldn't make for interesting television.
Right.
Like, I'm sure she could just send a raven and be like, look, I surrender on the condition you just let Jamie and I go live out our days in Castle Rock as members of your Seven Kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, and Danny would be like, okay, don't have to have a war and lose any of my men or, you know, anything like that. Sure.
The Dothraki would be pissed.
Yeah. But that's not for Cersei to deal with, so.
Right.
I don't think Daenerys would, you know, kill him on principle. So if it was just their lives that she was looking out for, then she had an out, not just, you know, surrender and die or fight and die. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I think that's the thing.
So that was all I could think of, like, during that scene. I'm like, you have options. I mean, if you want the Seven Kingdoms, then yeah, you don't have an option besides, but if you just care about you and Jamie, you know, go back to Castle Rock and be fine.
Well, that's the thing that I've still not quite figured out. Like, I get why she wanted to have power to help her children when they were alive. And I get why, I don't know. I mean, the birth of the baby makes it make more, or like the pregnancy makes it make more sense. But when it was just
having that baby,
huh?
She ain't having that baby though.
Why not?
Maggie the Frog prophecy. You will have three children. And all three children will die.
Ew. Well, what if the prophecy's wrong?
Nah.
Nah. That is an interesting development.
So either she's going to live 9 months or something's going to happen and the pregnancy will be gone.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm banking on the first one.
But what I was saying was that I always understood her motivations when she was trying to secure power for Joffrey or for Tommen. This season, I've been trying to figure out what her motivations are because she's never been one to like want power just for power's sake, at least that I could figure out.
Yeah.
It always seemed like it was always to the end of her children. And so I'm glad that there's another, like, the whole pregnancy thing puts a lot of things into perspective at this point, because the first few episodes, I'm like, I don't know, it was weird. I can't really express what I'm trying to say, but.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. So who do you think of the band of northern bros is going to die first?
The drunken guy, you said.
Probably.
I mean, the only people that are making it out are John, the Mountain, not the Mountain, freaking
the Hound,
Davos, and Gendry.
Well, Davos isn't going.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's see who else. Oh, Jorah and Gendry. Yeah, those four. They'll make it out.
That's true.
Well, at least, you know, the only people that have to, quote unquote, have to, are the Hound and John. Because the Hound has to face his brother, the Mountain. And so
that, maybe that's going to happen still?
That pretty much has to happen, narratively wise.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and John just can't die up there. That can't happen narratively wise. So,
I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, it could, but it just. There's killing off people for shock value and killing off people for good storytelling. And I think killing John up there would be for shock value. So at least those two are making it out. Jorah and Gendry are obviously a little bit more wild cards. I'm actually pretty sure the other ones are going to die. But Jorah and Gendry, I feel Gendry would be a waste just to do that, I guess. I mean, it'd be an end for his character, you know, just kind of wrap up that loose end for us in two episodes.
I'd be so mad for him to show up just for him to die, but I guess that's what happened to Dickon, so.
Yeah. And same thing with Jorah, like go through all that, getting all that cured and stuff like that, just to go on a quest and die right after when he could have just basically done that with his grayscale.
Right.
So. I would feel it would be a waste for either of them, so I'm banking on all the four of them making out, but the other three perishing.
What was that thing you sent me today with was it Jorah being like, okay, bye, I'm leaving again.
So joy of the friend zone.
That's right. okay, so the last scene that I think is really interesting to talk about is the Littlefinger versus Arya.
Yeah.
What's going on?
That made me sad.
Huh?
That made me sad.
Why?
That Littlefinger stringing her along and it's going to cause contention between her and Sansa.
Yeah. Do you guys watch the added stuff afterwards?
Yes.
I thought they said a lot of stuff that the episode didn't actually say, so I was surprised by that. Like, they just came right out and said that Littlefinger is stringing her along and is planting false information to make Arya mad at Sansa.
Oh, well, if you caught what the note said and then just him kind of looking the trailers and looking very pleased with himself, you know, I think that gave it away enough.
But it was still a little bit mysterious. Like, you don't know if maybe he just caught her finding the thing that he really was trying to hide. Or, I don't know. I thought it was very interesting, like, watching these two characters who are very similar in a lot of ways, kind of, like, start to circle each other. I'm hoping that Arya is smart enough to realize that she's being manipulated. But I don't know if she is.
Yeah, I don't have that much confidence in her. You know, obviously she's a very, very stealthy, but as far as playing the Littlefinger game better than Littlefinger while Littlefinger's playing it,
yeah,
I don't think she's.
I guess
at least in this game, you know, yeah. She could just go stab him at some point.
But, yeah, I guess the only hope really for either Bran is going to tell them what's going on and tell them to stop being stupid. Or, and I really hope this is the case because it'll be some vindication for Sansa, I hope that she sees what's going on and foils it somehow.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because I think that would be neat, really, like, to see the wedge going between them. Because obviously her and Arya don't get along all that well.
Yeah.
Like, they had a really good reunion, and then since then it's all just been like, oh right, this is why we didn't like each other. But... yeah, I would love for her to take everything that she's learned from watching Littlefinger and from being in the court with the queen and, like, everything that she's endured finally come back around to where, like, she is a master at this game and she beats Littlefinger.
I like that.
I would love that so much.
Or I could just stab him.
I don't know. Yeah, that's fine, too. Or he can go in and talk to Bran again and Bran can be like, I see your death. Or whatever, and like stabs him with the knife.
Well, I'm glad you don't write the show.
Hey, that would be an amazing.
I see your death, and then stab him.
That'd be an amazing moment. You shut your whore mouth.
Someone joked about Bran just opens his mouth, and you hear the 56K dial-up modem sounds come out.
Oh, everybody around him has got to be freaking out. Like, are wargs common in the north?
I don't think so. I don't think they really... No, or else they probably would have known.
Yeah. Because, like, then the maester keeps walking up to him by the tree. And I was like, he's got to wonder what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Especially if that maester's like any that are in the Citadel, and they definitely don't believe in that supernatural stuff.
Yeah. And I still got to wonder, like, what is Bran's purpose? Like, is he just like a, you know, magical radar system, or?
I don't know. He's pretty much just Dr. Manhattan right now. So anything when he feels like contributing, he could do a great deal, but he just has to feel like it.
Yeah. Like, they've built him up so much, and like, we know that he has a lot of power to, like, you know, time travel, basically. What's he going to do? I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out soon. So, any other scenes that you want to talk about?
Nah, let's go and wrap it up.
Okay. I think we covered just about everything.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for another episode of the Brief Nerdy Podcast. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook and email and our website. Everywhere. Just reach out everywhere. It'll be awesome.
Yep, nope. He's hot. Yep, nope.
Tell us, you know, what kind of things you want us to talk about, if there's any subjects or...
Yeah, background music, keep going.
Tell us what you'd like us to talk about. Oh, and leave us a note and subscribe, and we will see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.